most of the New Testament was written to either individual Christians or to churches. Even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is my firm belief that these were written after Jesus died and rose and went back to heaven. And sometimes we think, well, they were written for the unbeliever, Gentiles and also Jews. That may be true, but I can't help but believe that even Matthew and Mark and Luke and John were written to remind people about Jesus. Let them know what he did and let them know what he stood for. And then we turn to the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians, and all of those books were written to impress upon the member of the body of Christ his responsibility as a Christian. And 2 Peter, of course, does the same thing. Peter said, I write these things to bring them to your remembrance. I don't want you to forget them after I'm gone. And so we're studying things that I believe that all of us need, and I appreciate some of the comments that some of you have made, how much you appreciate these lessons, and I appreciate that a whole lot. I want to give some credit, though, to someone who helped me with these lessons. My brother, Eldred, was nearly 6 years older than I am, and he was killed in 1979 in a plane crash. But before his death, he wrote a little booklet on the Christian graces, and most of this material I got out of Eldred's little book, and I feel like I need to give him the credit for the good outlines that he has, and I just maybe added a little here and a little there. But I always said that Eldred, I believe, was the best at outlining of anybody I've ever known, and he was an outstanding preacher of the gospel. In 2 Peter 1, verse 6, we're to add to self-control patience. Faith must have something mixed with it in order for it to be able to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. We must add self-control, and this is another building block to be added to the Christian's foundation. And it takes time. It takes time to grow in this area as it does in all of the others. In James, the first chapter, in verse 4, James wrote these words, and he said, but let patience have her perfect work. And he said, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Certainly then, we are to grow in patience. Patience is defined in this way. It's endurance. We've got to endure some things if we're true disciples of Jesus. It involves persistence. We're persistent in what we're doing. We persevere. We're long-suffering. Patience does not mean sitting down and doing nothing, but rather it means being faithful, faithful continuance in a worthwhile pursuit, perseverance toward a goal. That's what endurance, or that's what the term patience really means. I'd like you to notice one of the faults we must learn to overcome is the lack of patience, which often causes one to become discouraged. People who become discouraged, as a rule, are impatient, very impatient. And so we must be patient so that we will not become discouraged and give up. In my lifetime, I've seen many members of the body of Christ give up and quit. And it was because they did not have the perseverance they needed to have. They didn't have the long-suffering attitude that they should have had. First of all, I'd like to point out to you that God, our God that we serve, is a patient God. In Romans the 15th chapter, in verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another according to Christ Jesus. So God is a God of patience, a God that's long-suffering. He's always been long-suffering.
back during the time of Noah, according to 1 Peter the 3rd chapter, in verse 20. Listen to the Apostle Peter as he penned these words in the 3rd chapter, he said, which sometime were disobedient during the time of Noah, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. So God was a God of patience, a God of long-suffering. And the people had time enough to repent. They didn't repent, but God was long-suffering toward them. I also find that during the time of the Israelites, He was patient with them. God put up with a lot with those people. In the Psalms in chapter 78, I believe it is, in beginning with verse 12, listen to the record as I read. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea, caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him, by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart, by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Therefore the Lord heard this. After being so patient with them, after taking care of them all those years, God heard this, and the record says, and was wroth. This made Him angry. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. The reason I mention that is because God's patience, it's going to come to an end someday. He's been mighty patient with all of us in this audience tonight. We've experienced a lot of God's patience with us. In the book of Judges, we're impressed with God's long-suffering toward Israel. As they rebelled time and time again, they would cry out, and He would send them a deliverer or a judge. And as I've said, He's patient with you and me. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God's patience and mercy will someday come to an end in due time, even as it did with the people in Noah's time. What makes us think that He's not going to lose His patience with us if we're not faithful? Also, He lost His patience with the people in the time of Moses. And God is going to someday say, I've had enough. I'm through. I don't know when that's going to come. But I believe the time is mighty ripe right now. I don't see how God can allow the world to stand, but I'm not God, and I'm not as long-suffering as God. But God allows the world to continue to stand. There are many passages in the Bible that give us examples of men of patience. We all know that probably when we think of someone who's patient, we think of Job. In Job, the 5th chapter, we read where James had this to say about the patience of Job in Job and James 5 in verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. God, of course, was patient with Job, but Job was also patient with God. He was tempted by Satan, as you know, and you read about that in Job 1 and 2 and verse 42. I mean, he was tried. He was tried severely. But he never did become unfaithful to God. He endured that suffering. And God blessed him with more than he ever had before he was tempted. Abraham, of course, is another man who was very patient in his service to God. In Hebrews the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 12, he said that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham endured much. He was a man of great faith. And that great faith led him to have the endurance in his heart and the patience that he needed in life. Moses, as you know, was also another man of great patience. In Hebrews the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 24, the record says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses would rather suffer with God's people than have all of the pleasures that he could have and all of the money that he could have. He would much rather suffer with the people of God. He was a man of great endurance. And my hero, and I think the hero of every gospel preacher that I've ever known, is the Apostle Paul. What a man of patience. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in verse 4, the Apostle Paul, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, Paul preached the gospel and established churches with a lot of endurance. He had to endure a lot of persecution and a lot of suffering, but he kept on pressing. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He kept on. And that's in the book, folks, in order to impress upon us. We need to have the patience of Job. We need to have the patience of Abraham. The patience of Moses. We need the patience of the Apostle Paul. We don't need to be quitters. All of us need to make up our minds that I've decided to become a Christian and I'm going to endure. And everything's not going to be a bed of roses. My Lord suffered persecution and died on the cross. The apostles, nearly every one of them, died the death of martyrdom. Nearly every one of them. And kept on enduring. And that's what Christianity is all about. We've got to realize that suffering goes with our being children of God. In Hebrews the 10th chapter, in verse 36, the Hebrew writer wrote these words to the Hebrew brethren who were on the verge of becoming unfaithful. In Hebrews 10, in verse 36, the record says, for you have need of patience. Now he's telling these people, folks, you need to be more patient. You need to endure more, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. But you need patience. Do you think we need patience? Well, of course we do. Every one of us in this audience who have been baptized into Christ, who are part of the body of Christ, we must realize that we must be willing to suffer trials, to suffer afflictions, to suffer hardships. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, verses 19 through 21. Listen to what Peter said. He said, well, this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief. That's pleasing to God. Suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. And then he says, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. I claim to be a follower of Christ, and you do too. And my captain, my Savior, suffered for me. And He didn't suffer for His sins. He suffered because of my sins. And that ought to cause me then to be willing to follow in His steps and to be willing to suffer. We must also be patient with our brethren. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 2, the apostle wrote these words to the Ephesian brethren. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 2, and the attitude that we should have toward our brethren. Paul wrote, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, that's verse 1, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. If we don't have a long suffering attitude toward one another, we're not walking worthy of our vocation. We're not walking worthy as a child of God. Are you patient with your brethren? We must learn to suffer long and forbear with those petty grievances that people have and weaknesses that people have. I'm not saying we shouldn't stand for the truth. And when men are in error, I will not repent of it. Certainly they need to be marked. But I believe I've seen in my lifetime there are brethren who will just fuss over nearly anything and show very little patience toward one another. Sometimes a brother or sister will disappoint us. And man, I've seen many of those. But I'll tell you, I've disappointed myself a lot of times too. I realize sometimes I've done some of the most foolish things in my lifetime. And even as a preacher of the gospel, I've done some foolish things. And I sometimes lose my patience with myself. But we lose patience with one another. We must endure with such disappointments without allowing such to overcome our faith. Sometimes, brethren, see maybe some preacher that's gone astray. Well, if he goes astray, I might as well quit. Well, that's ridiculous. We certainly should not become discouraged because someone else got off track. We must try to help and encourage our brethren rather than giving up on them so quickly. Let's keep on trying to help them to come back and be concerned about them. And I'm afraid sometimes I fall short in that. But we're also taught to have patience with all men. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in verse 14, Paul said, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all. Be patient toward all men. And I think that means be long-suffering. Now, remember that Peter said we must add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. And then he said toward the end, if these things are not in you, you're blind. You can't see afar off. He implies that you will fall if you do not have these things in your faith. We must also be patient in our prayers. Sometimes we pray and we want our prayers answered right then, and we lose our patience even with God. In Psalm 37, in verse 7, the record says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Wait on the Lord. The Lord will take care of it in His time. And I believe with all of my heart that when you pray the way you ought to pray, sometimes God says yes and sometimes He says no. But don't say He doesn't answer your prayer. Sometimes we don't pray for the right things. But we need to be patient certainly with our God. We must learn to wait on Him. I believe we need a lot more patience in converting the lost souls. We need to keep up our efforts to save them. Many people are discouraged because someone doesn't respond right now. And I know I've been there, and I'm still there, I'm pretty sure. I want to see something happen. You can't help that. But the Lord gives the increase. The Apostle Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Let God take care of it. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. And to just save one lost soul, beloved, is worth more than all the world. Jesus said, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing as valuable as the salvation of a man's soul. And you can do that, but it's going to take patience. Maybe there's a neighbor that you have, and you've given up. I remember several years ago, I had a fellow riding with me to take Oklahoma A&M. It's called Oklahoma State now. But we had to ride 24 miles every morning to go to Stillwater. And we talked about spiritual things. And he had argued and I'd argue. And we were still friends, but we had some pretty hard words. I came home one night, and after going to school that day, and I told my wife, Pauline, I said, Pauline, I believe that's the most stubborn fellow I ever saw in my life. He'll never obey the gospel. He doesn't even want to accept the truth. Next morning, I picked him up, and he said, RJ, when we come home today, I want you to baptize me. I lost my patience. The Lord took care of that. He was converted. And I'm sure Byron's probably had the same thing happen. By the time you think that there's no hope left, that person will come. But let's show patience for those that are in sin. And then we need to also show patience in waiting for Christ's coming. Jesus is coming again. I don't know when. Nobody knows when. Only the Father knows when He's coming. In James, the 5th chapter, verses 7 and 8, James wrote, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Be patient. Some of the people in the first century wanted him to come right now. And Paul wrote the Thessalonian brethren to let them know he's not going to come right now. You just as well be patient and wait until he decides to come. His delay is but a manifestation of God's long suffering for mankind. And the longer he waits, the more people are going to be saved. And he will come in due time. And my last point is how patience is developed. It sounds rather strange, but patience is really not developed apart from struggles and trials. In Romans, the 5th chapter, in verse 3, I find where the apostle wrote these words concerning the importance of struggles and trials. He said in Romans, the 5th chapter, and he goes on, and not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. What does tribulation do, Paul? It works patience. It brings patience and endurance into your life. The strongest people I've ever known in my lifetime are people who've had a lot of tribulation, a lot of problems in their lives. They're some of the strongest people. And they've not only had tribulations a few times, but many times. And they're the kind of people that will endure. As I've already pointed out in the book of James, in James chapter 1, in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So when trials come, don't just say, well, why did this happen to me? Well, maybe it's the best thing that ever happened to you or to me. It makes me have more endurance. Makes me have the kind of character that I ought to have. Just as the physical body increases in the ability to endure, how does it do that? By exercises and rigorous competition. So the spiritual body is made stronger and better able to endure by trials and by hardships. Many of us were reared during the Depression years. The Depression years were hard times. Ooh, you have no idea. But you know, I never knew we were poor because everybody else was poor. Nobody had anything to amount to anything. We had our cornbread every day and our milk. And I thought that's the best food that ever came down the pike. And I still like it better than nearly anything. But it doesn't take things to make life happy. I remember when I married, we didn't have more than anything. But I was as happy in the Lord as I've ever been in my life. I know it doesn't take things. I can remember on Lord's Day many times and during the week reading something that touched my heart, and I didn't have hardly anything physically. It doesn't take that. It doesn't take that at all. I went to the Philippines not too many years ago, and those people, very few of them had anything. Poverty everywhere, but happiness everywhere. Faithfulness everywhere. Some of the most faithful people I ever saw were people who were enduring all of those trials. And I'll tell you another way you can develop your patience is read your Bible. In Romans 15:4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Studying the Bible will help us grow in our patience. And then I think also we need to realize that our patience will develop when we have hope, strong hope. In Romans 8, in verses 24 and 25, the apostle wrote this concerning our hope. In Romans 8, 24, Paul says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not," now watch, "then do we with patience wait for it." Where you get hope? It comes from your faith. Hebrews 11:1, faith is a substance or stands under our hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The stronger your faith, the stronger your hope. And that'll bring you more patience. And then also you and I need to pray a lot. You're not going to be successful with your trials without prayer. Jesus said, "Seek and you'll find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given unto you." Matthew 7, verse 7. You've got to pray. The result of patience, as I've already pointed out, it perfects Christian character. You can't have your character perfected without patience. It brings forth fruit. The farmer exercises patience as he plants the seed and waits for the harvest. Back over in James the 5th chapter again, in verses 7 and 8, James wrote, Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, the farmer, waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We've got to sow. We've got to toil. We've got to endure patiently until we reap with joy, as the song says. I'm reminded of something that we read in Psalm 125 in verses 5 and 6. He said these words Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And then it leads to eternal life. Eternal life. After you have endured patiently, the Bible says you will receive eternal life. Eternal life in heaven, in the city of God. In Hebrews the 10th chapter, in verse 36, listen to the Hebrew writer as he said these words in chapter 10 in verse 36. For you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. The promise of what? Eternal life. 1 John 2 verse 25. We're going home someday. We're going home. I like what Paul wrote in Romans 8:18. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul said, I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it. As if, in other words, I'm suffering, sure, but I don't. Eternal life is so much greater than that. I'm willing to suffer that I can have that. I like what he said in 2 Corinthians 4. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. The point is, it's worth it all, folks. Almost any worthwhile achievement in life demands patience and endurance. You know that's true, don't you? Some of you have got your degrees. Some of you qualified yourselves for certain things in life. And you didn't get there in the easy way. It took a lot of endurance in order to get there. And so to be successful as a Christian, every one of us should be that should be the highest goal of all of us, is going to heaven. And it takes patience to reach this goal. I want to close with a passage in Hebrews 12, in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us grow then in patience. Where are you tonight? Are you a child of God and you've wandered away and have not shown patience? And have become discouraged? You know what I hope you do first? If you don't need to come forward, and many, many times people don't need to come down the front to do this, I hope you'll go home tonight and bow before God and tell Him, I'm so sorry. I haven't been as patient as I should have been. Please forgive me this wrong. And He'll help you. But if you're in the audience and you have wandered away and you brought reproach upon the Lord's body by your conduct, come back home in penitence and let's pray about it. If you're in the audience and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you have an opportunity tonight to show your faith by coming forward
and confessing that you do believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. I hope that you'll come with a penitent heart, repent and turn to serve the Lord, and be baptized. Baptism is a precious, we might say a precious ceremony, bringing you into Christ. You're baptized into Christ. And if you have not been baptized, you have not been baptized into Christ. You're not in Christ. You're baptized for the remission of sins. If you haven't been baptized, you've not been forgiven of your sins. So if you need to come, why not now while we stand and sing?